Hello Ramblings magazine reader. Welcome. This is a podcast of the 18th issue of Ramblings magazine. The headings are: How a 2005 decision shaped my writing career. Easter Thoughts 2025. A chilling tale of shadows. The joy of couch potato life. Celebrating 30 years of love. How aging increases stress and anxiety. Virus versus bacteria. Tale of Two Strangers. Lessons Learned from Divorce. The End of the Road. How a Risky Decision Saved My Life. Is the Name Near? A Voicemail from 2030. Exploring the History of the Panama Canal. What If I Woke Up as an Ant? A Citizen's Privilege and Responsibility. Are You Just Yourself? Private Label Brands. Embracing Life's Journey. Microwave Ovens, Evolution and Benefits. Beyond Time and Memory Journey. How a 2005 decision shaped my writing career. Back in 2005, I embarked on my blogging journey at yourhub.com, a unique social media platform associated with the now defunct Rocky Mountain News. This innovative site allowed users to write and publish articles, creating a space where voices could be heard. If your story was selected by the editorial team, it found its way into a Thursday insert, which was a part of the printed morning newspaper, a thrilling experience for any aspiring writer. To my delight, they picked my first article, which ignited a passion for storytelling that would last far beyond my initial expectations. This incredible opportunity set in motion over 20 years of blogging, during which I honed my craft and developed my unique voice. I ventured into various writing projects, including self-publishing books and creating diverse content across multiple platforms. Over the years, I have accumulated a wealth of experience, allowing me to express my thoughts and opinions freely and confidently. The decision to start this journey undeniably helped me learn, grow, and connect with a community that shares my enthusiasm for storytelling and self-expression. Easter Thoughts 2025. Here it is, the Thursday before Easter. Dee and her granddaughter Danielle are busy in the kitchen, their laughter and chatter filling the air as they make Easter pie, a cherished Italian tradition that has been passed down through generations. This delightful dish is a highlight of the Easter meal, made with a hearty mix of sausage, creamy eggs, flour, and a flaky crust that envelopes all the goodness inside. After making a trip to the local market, they bought $20 worth of ricotta cheese, which is essential for the richness of the pie, while Danielle is responsible for bringing the sausage and eggs, carefully selected for their freshness. As they preheat the oven and prepare the ingredients, the intoxicating aroma of herbs and spices wafts through the kitchen. They are both filled with excitement and anticipation, though it's still too early to tell how many pies they will end up making together. I would guess 4 or more, as they often make extras to share with family members and friends who look forward to this beloved treat each year. 3. Reflecting on my past Easters brings back a flood of memories intertwined with my upbringing as a Catholic. I remember the 40 days of Lent vividly. It was a time filled with both reflection and challenges. The tradition of abstaining from meat on Fridays was a weekly reminder of sacrifice and commitment to faith. During Lent, the requirement to fast was particularly strict. The last two meals could not exceed the portion of a humble breakfast, and it always felt like a test of willpower. You were expected to give up something meaningful for Lent, akin to making a New Year's resolution, and while I attempted to adhere to this tradition, I eventually gave up on both the resolutions and the need to consciously think about them. Stations of the Cross every Friday during Lent served as a poignant reminder of the suffering endured, and we were repeatedly reminded of our humanity and the burden of sin, reinforcing a narrative that getting to heaven was an arduous journey requiring effort and perseverance. Dressing up for Easter service was always a highlight, transforming the event into a cherished occasion marked by the joy of community and tradition, followed by a family meal that often included all the favorite dishes, symbolizing abundance and togetherness. In recent years, I've noticed that the church's Easter guidelines have eased up quite a lot, reflecting a shift towards a more inclusive and less stringent interpretation of faith practices, which has allowed many to approach these traditions with a lighter heart. The Easter Bunny was around with the Easter egg hunt, a delightful tradition that either brings families together or turns into a comical disaster as kids trip over each other in the quest for chocolate glory. You had to hard-boil the eggs and then color them with vibrant dyes, turning plain whites into a joyful array of colors and, let's be honest, probably staining everything in the kitchen, including that stray cat who decided it was the perfect time to investigate. Does anyone even do that anymore? It feels like a nostalgic ritual that's been replaced by plastic eggs that come pre-filled with candy, making it all too easy. No mess, no fuss, but also no fun. Surely some of the eggs were hidden so well they weren't found until the middle of summer, where they turned into little time capsules of kindness and rank odors. The memories of those egg hunts, filled with the thrill of discovery and the sweet anticipation of treats, stand out as the highlight of spring, even if most of the excitement came from the fear of what might crawl out from the grass. Easter has increasingly become a commercialized event, overshadowing its original significance, which was rooted in spiritual renewal and resurrection. The numerous marketing campaigns and consumer-driven activities, such as extravagant egg hunts and lavish floral displays, seem to distract from the deeper cultural and religious foundations of the holiday. This raises concerns about the ongoing efforts to alter or eliminate many American traditions that hold profound meaning, as more families prioritize shopping and entertainment over meaningful gatherings and reflection. As society continues down this path, it begs the question of what we stand to lose in our understanding of Easter's true essence and the values it once represented, prompting a broader dialogue about the preservation of our cultural heritage in the face of commercialization. 4. A Chilling Tale of Shadows. It's 11:57 p.m. on April 21, 2025, and the air feels thick with something unspoken. Shadows stretch long and jagged across the floor, like fingers clawing at the edges of reality. The clock ticks louder than it should, each second a hammer against the silence. Outside, the wind howls low, a mournful sound that rattles the windows like something's trying to get in. You're alone, or at least you think you are. The room's dim, lit only by the sickly glow of your screen, and every creak of the house feels like a whisper you can't quite catch. Did you lock the door? You're pretty sure you did, but the thought gnaws at you. There's a chill creeping up your spine, slow and deliberate, like icy fingertips tracing their way to your neck. Somewhere in the distance, a dog barks sharp, frantic, then stops abruptly. Too abruptly. The silence that follows is heavier than before, pressing down on your chest. You glance at the clock, 11:58. Time's slipping away, but it feels wrong, like it's stalling just to mess with you. There's a story they tell around here, about nights like this. They say the veil thins out close to midnight, when the world holds its breath. Things slip through, things that don't belong. You've heard the tales, footsteps where no one's walking, shadows that don't match their owners, voices calling your name from rooms you swore were empty. Old folks swear they've seen it, eyes wide and hands trembling as they recount it over flickering candles. 11:59, the screen flickers, just for a second, and you blink. Did you see something in the reflection? A shape behind you, too vague to be sure, too real to ignore? You turn, heart thudding, but there's nothing. Just the room, still and dark. The wind picks up again, and this time it carries something, a low, guttural hum that doesn't sound like wind at all. Midnight hits. The clock chimes, but it's off, warped, like it's underwater. The lights dim, then surge, casting the room in a strobe of light and shadow. And then you hear it, a soft tap tap tap, slow and deliberate, coming from the window. You don't want to look. Every nerve screams not to. But your eyes betray you, sliding toward the glass. There's nothing there. Just darkness. Except, is that a smudge on the pane? A handprint, faint and streaked, like someone or something pressed against it from the outside. It wasn't there before. You're sure of it. The tapping stops. The silence is worse. And then, from somewhere deep in the house, a floorboard groans. Not near you. Not upstairs. Somewhere else. Somewhere it shouldn't. Happy almost midnight. Sleep tight if you can. 5. The Joy of Couch Potato Life. After a demanding day, I embrace the role of a couch potato. That means I strive to do as little as possible, allowing myself to unwind completely. I often turn on the TV or delve into a collection of pre-recorded programs that require minimal mental engagement. These shows, often light-hearted comedies or captivating reality series, provide the perfect backdrop for relaxation. I find comfort in their familiarity, and it's not uncommon for me to drift off to sleep, especially during the quieter moments of the recording, sometimes even missing key plot points. Despite this, the experience of lounging on the couch, wrapped in a warm blanket, is a cherished ritual that helps me recharge for the day ahead. Celebrating 30 years of love, our anniversary journey. Today marks a significant milestone in our lives as we celebrate our 30th anniversary together, a journey filled with love, laughter, and cherished memories. It was on April 22, 1995, that we exchanged our vows, embarking on a beautiful adventure that has only grown richer with the passing years. Over the decades, we have navigated the ups and downs of life, always finding strength in our partnership, and today we reflect on the countless moments that have shaped our story. This was a midlife marriage, a time when many people begin to reflect on their past choices and seek new beginnings. Dee, my wife, and I had both experienced previous marriages that came to a shocking end, leaving us with a complex array of emotions and lessons learned. We met later in life, both carrying the weight of our pasts but also a renewed hope for the future. Our shared experiences brought us closer, allowing us to understand each other in ways that maybe we couldn't have at a younger age. We embarked on this journey together, committed to creating a loving and supportive partnership that we had both longed for. We picked up each other and have forged an extraordinary, lasting relationship over 40 remarkable years, overflowing with priceless memories and vibrant experiences that have only deepened the flames of our bond. Throughout these decades, we have passionately navigated the exhilarating highs and heart-wrenching lows of life together, fiercely supporting one another through every challenge and joy, allowing our love to blossom and intensify with each precious moment we share. 6. I look at her now and realize how fortunate and lucky that our lives crossed, as each moment spent together has woven rich memories into the fabric of our existence, shaping my understanding of love, friendship, and the beauty of shared experiences. Her laughter sparkles like sunlight breaking through the clouds, illuminating the darkest days, and the deep conversations we've had have opened my eyes to new perspectives that I had never considered before. The journey we've embarked on together has not only strengthened our bond but has also enriched our souls, creating a unique path that feels both surprising and beautifully destined. Hopefully we will have many healthy years together, filled with joyful memories, shared adventures, and the kind of love that grows stronger with each passing day. As we navigate the ups and downs of life, I look forward to cherishing every moment and supporting each other through challenges, all while creating a lifetime of happiness and laughter. How aging increases stress and anxiety. I equate nervous to stress. As I age, it is harder and harder to deal with stress, which seems to compound over time. The once manageable pressures of daily life now feel overwhelming, and I often find myself reflecting on how my responses have changed. There are times when even small challenges can trigger a wave of anxiety, making it difficult to focus on what truly matters. The weight of expectations, both self-imposed and from those around me, adds to the strain, highlighting a need for effective coping mechanisms to navigate the complexities of my emotions in this ever-evolving landscape of life. Thinking about being late creates stress for me, a feeling that often lingers in my mind long before I actually need to leave. I hate to be late, even just a few minutes, as it feels like I'm disrespecting not only my time but also the time of others waiting for me. Punctuality matters greatly to me because it symbolizes responsibility and consideration. The anxiety builds when I foresee potential delays, causing me to plan my schedule meticulously. Whether it's for a meeting, a dinner with friends, or any other commitment, the possibility of tardiness weighs heavily, making me triple-check the clock and my route, ensuring I leave with ample time to spare. Driving is now stressful, especially with the chaotic environment that surrounds me. The cars around me just drive too fast, zipping past as if they are in a race, and weave in and out of the lanes with little regard for safety. I find myself gripping the steering wheel tighter with each passing vehicle, unable to relax as I navigate through the unpredictable flow of traffic. The constant honking and the glaring lights of oncoming cars add to the anxiety, making every journey feel like a daunting challenge rather than a simple commute. It's as if the roads have become a battleground, where patience is a rarity and stress has become the norm. When the laptop updates or the internet is not functioning, I get visions of being isolated from the world, as if I am cut off from the vibrant connections that technology offers. In those moments of disconnection, a wave of anxiety washes over me, amplifying the silence around me and making me acutely aware of how dependent I have become on these digital platforms for communication, information, and social interaction. It feels like I am trapped in 7, 7, 8. A bubble, removed from the pulse of life, unable to reach out to friends or access the multitude of resources available online. My thoughts wander to the countless ways the internet has woven itself into the fabric of my daily existence, and I can't help but wonder how I ever navigated the world before this digital age. The idea of being completely unplugged sends a shiver down my spine, revealing the complexities of our modern reliance on technology for connection and engagement. Sure, doctor's appointments and job interviews always stressed me out, as they often brought about feelings of anxiety and self-doubt. The thought of being judged or having to interact with strangers in high-stakes situations made my heart race and my palms sweat. I would often overthink every possible outcome, constantly worrying if I was adequately prepared or if I would make a good impression. Even the simplest of appointments felt overwhelming, and I found myself coming up with excuses to avoid them. Wishing I could find a way to navigate these moments without the weight of stress hanging over me. In conclusion, aging is just a part of life, and while it brings its own set of challenges, it also offers opportunities for personal growth and reflection. However, the events we experience as we age can create new stress and contribute to that empty feeling of being nervous. Whether it's dealing with health issues, adjusting to changes in our social circles, or facing the pressures of everyday responsibilities, these factors can weigh heavily on us. It's crucial to acknowledge these feelings and understand that they are a natural response to the evolving stages of life. By finding healthy coping mechanisms and seeking support when needed, we can navigate through these transitions with greater ease, allowing us to appreciate the journey of aging while also addressing the stresses it may bring. Virus versus bacteria. A virus and a bacterium are both microscopic entities that can cause illness, but they differ significantly in structure, behavior, and how they interact with living organisms. Viruses, which are smaller than bacteria, consist of genetic material encased in a protein coat, and they depend entirely on the host cells they invade for replication. Unlike bacteria, which are single-celled organisms capable of surviving independently, viruses cannot carry out metabolic processes on their own and are often referred to as obligate parasites. Bacteria, on the other hand, possess a more complex cellular structure, including a cell wall and cellular machinery that allows them to thrive in a variety of environments, reproduce quickly by binary fission, and sometimes develop resistance to antibiotics, making them a significant concern in public health. Understanding these fundamental differences is essential for developing effective treatments and preventive measures against the diseases they cause. A bacterium is a single-celled organism with a relatively simple structure. It has a cell wall, a cell membrane, cytoplasm, and genetic material, DNA, that's not enclosed in a nucleus. Bacteria are prokaryotes, meaning they lack complex organelles like mitochondria or a defined nucleus, which distinguishes them from eukaryotic cells that make up more complex organisms such as plants and animals. They can reproduce independently through binary fission, a process in which one cell splits into two identical cells, allowing for rapid population growth under favorable conditions. Many bacteria can survive in a wide range of environments, some even thrive without oxygen, showcasing their remarkable adaptability. They play crucial roles in various ecosystems, contributing to nutrient cycling and biodegradation. While certain bacteria, like Streptococcus or Escherichia coli, in pathogenic strains, can cause diseases such as strep throat or food poisoning, others are harmless or even beneficial. For instance, certain strains of Escherichia coli that reside in the human gut aid in digestion and the production of essential vitamins, highlighting the complex relationships bacteria have with their environments and hosts. Additionally, ongoing research into bacterial interactions continues to uncover their significant impact on health, biotechnology, and the ecosystem. A virus, on the other hand, isn't a cell at all. It's a much smaller, simpler particle made of genetic material, either DNA or RNA, wrapped in a protein coat, sometimes with a lipid envelope that aids in its ability to enter host cells. Viruses can't reproduce on their own, they rely entirely on their host organism, acting as obligate parasites that invade host cells, hijacking the cell's machinery to replicate their own genetic material and produce new viral particles. This intricate process often damages or kills the host cell, leading to the symptoms and ailments commonly associated with viral infections, which is why viruses are typically associated with disease think influenza, HIV, or the common cold, each highlighting the variety of health challenges posed by different viral strains. Unlike bacteria, which can metabolize and grow independently in various environments, viruses exist in a paradoxical state, outside a host, they're essentially inert, displaying no signs of life until they come into contact with a suitable cell to infect, which further emphasizes their unique biological characteristics and the complexities of how they interact with living organisms. Treatment differs significantly between bacterial and viral infections. Antibiotics can effectively target specific components of bacterial cells, such as the cell wall or critical metabolic processes. For example, penicillin disrupts cell wall synthesis, but they are ineffective against viruses, which lack those structural and functional targets. For viral infections, healthcare professionals rely on antiviral drugs or vaccines, which are designed with the intention of blocking the replication of viruses in the host or enhancing the immune response to provide better protection against future infections. In addition to the mechanisms of action, scale-wise, bacteria are generally larger, typically measured in micrometers, which allows for easier observation under light microscopes, while viruses are significantly tinier, measured in nanometers, often necessitating sophisticated imaging techniques such as electron microscopy to be visualized. Understanding these distinctions not only highlights the complexity of treating infectious diseases but also underscores the importance of appropriate diagnostic procedures to ensure that patients receive the correct treatment, ultimately leading to better health outcomes. In short, bacteria are standalone living cells capable of independent life. They possess the necessary components to carry out metabolic processes, reproduce on their own, and adapt to various environments, showcasing their resilience and diversity. In contrast, viruses are non-living entities outside a host, relying entirely on hijacking the cellular machinery of other organisms to multiply and propagate, which makes them significantly different from bacteria in terms of their biological function and life cycle. This fundamental distinction highlights the complexity of microorganisms and their roles in ecosystems, illustrating how bacteria contribute to nutrient cycles while viruses can disrupt cellular processes for their replication. 9. Tale of Two Strangers. In a dusty eastern Colorado town, 70-year-old retiree Lulu runs a struggling diner, her days filled with greasy plates and lonelier nights since her husband passed, leaving an emptiness that seems to seep into the very walls around her. Each morning, she wakes before dawn, the familiar hum of the coffee maker breaking the silence of an empty house, a sound that has become a comfort and a ritual, grounding her in a world that feels increasingly alien. After brewing a pot of strong coffee, she heads to the diner where the walls echo with memories of happier times, laughter, and bustling customers, now replaced with the grim reality of only a few loyal patrons who come to escape their lives as much as she does. Across the street, 19-year-old Juan, a graffiti artist with a rap sheet, tags abandoned walls, dodging cops, and his own dead-end future, caught in a cycle of choices that often lead him deeper into trouble. He is always searching for a way to express the turmoil within him, the feelings of alienation and frustration that swirl in his soul, causing him to lash out through his art. His nights are spent weaving through the shadows, paint cans in hand, as he transforms the dull gray of the urban landscape with bursts of color and emotion, each stroke telling a story of his struggles and dreams. Their paths cross one fateful afternoon when Lulu unexpectedly catches Diego spray painting her diner's back alley, his hands moving deftly as he creates a vibrant mural, brimming with life and energy. Instead of calling the police, she offers him a burger, seeing hunger in his eyes beyond the defiance, recognizing a desperation that mirrors her own loneliness. In that brief encounter, she offers him a fleeting moment of connection amid their contrasting lives, a shared understanding that transcends the barriers of age and experience, revealing the fragile threads that connect them in a world that often feels isolating. Juan, weary but broke, accepts the unexpected invitation, and they talk first about nothing, then about everything that matters. Lulu shares vivid stories of her diner's glory days, reminiscing about the bustling atmosphere and the laughter that filled the air. Juan, drawn in by her enthusiasm, admits he paints to feel alive, a passion that he's always kept hidden. She sees his undeniable talent, he sees her fierce grit, a contrast that intrigues him. Soon, Juan's sneaking in after hours to paint a magnificent mural on the diner's wall, a vibrant prairie scene alive with color that attracts curious crowds from all over town. Lulu teaches him to cook, showing him the delicate art of flipping pancakes and seasoning dishes just right, and in return, he teaches her to laugh again, their banter becoming light and effortless, infused with warmth. Locals whisper about the odd pair, a painter and a diner owner, but the diner's buzzing with newfound life, and so are they, their connection deepening with each shared moment and stolen glance, weaving a tapestry of hope and healing amidst the backdrop of grease and paint. When developers threaten to buy Lulu's land, Juan inspires the town with his art, transforming the diner into a vibrant cause that brings everyone together. They unite enthusiastically, not just for the diner but for the cherished home they've built together, a sanctuary filled with laughter, stories, and unforgettable moments. As the townsfolk come together, they create stunning banners and murals, all bursting with color and passion, beautifully reflecting their shared history and joyful memories. In the end, it's not merely about winning, it's about the beautiful family they've formed in each other, two misfits who turned a run-down joint into a masterpiece, a beacon of resilience and hope, proving that love and community can triumph over corporate greed. 10. Lessons learned from divorce, a new beginning. Taking the risk on a second marriage is a risk I will never regret, as it has transformed my life in the most beautiful ways. We have been happily married for over 30 years now, building a life filled with love, laughter, and mutual respect. Every day, we create new memories that strengthen our bond, and I often reflect on how fortunate I am to have found a partner who truly understands me and allows me to be myself. This marriage is one that everyone dreams about, showcasing not just the joy of companionship but also the journey of overcoming past challenges together, which has enriched our lives immeasurably. When I married the first time, I thought that one married until death do us part. I was in for a big surprise though, as the reality of marriage proved to be far more complex than I had anticipated. I thought everything was going well, we had two wonderful boys, a cozy home, a reliable car, and I had a good job that allowed us to provide for our family comfortably. However, I then received the shock of my life when my wife, whom I had believed to be my partner for life, revealed to me that she felt things were not working out. In an unexpected turn of events, it felt as though my wife had transformed into a version of herself that I hardly recognized, almost as if she was living a life separate from our family, focusing more on her own needs and desires. After enduring a year of emotional turmoil, we finally came to the painful decision to file for divorce. This process brought with it not just emotional heartache, but also substantial financial strain, making divorce one of the most expensive events in my life, both in terms of money and the emotional toll it took on my family and me. My future wife also experienced the same type of shocking experience ending her first marriage, which unfolded unexpectedly and left a profound impact on her life. The emotional turmoil she faced during that time shaped her perspective on relationships and ultimately prepared her for the strong and loving future ahead of her. We met in a divorce support group, a gathering filled with stories of heartbreak and resilience, where we slowly began to heal from our pasts. Over time, we picked ourselves up, learning the importance of self-love and support. After 10 years of friendship, understanding, and growth, we decided to give marriage another try, recognizing that we had both transformed significantly since our previous experiences. I do not regret this risk one bit, in fact, I believe it was an essential step toward a deeper connection built on trust and mutual respect, and I look forward to what the future holds for us. 11. The end of the road. The garage was a shrine of grease and memory, its air thick with the scent of motor oil and faded dreams. Elias stood in the shadowed space, his hands shoved deep into his pockets, staring at the car that had been his heartbeat for a decade. The 67 Mustang gleamed under the flickering fluorescent light, midnight blue, chrome polished to a mirror shine, every curve a testament to the years he'd spent bringing her back to life. He loved her more than anything he'd ever known, from the days of tinkering with her engine to the late nights spent on long drives down empty roads, feeling the rush of the wind against his face as the engine roared to life. Every scratch on her surface held a story, each dent a memory of adventure and freedom that now seemed so far away. But now, standing in the garage, that bittersweet nostalgia twisted in his gut in a way he had never anticipated, for he had to destroy her. It felt like tearing apart a piece of his own soul, a sacrifice made in the name of moving forward, even if doing so meant leaving behind the one thing that had always understood him, the one constant in a world full of change and uncertainty. The call had come that afternoon, clipped and cold from a voice he didn't recognize, "We know about the car. Stolen, Ven, traced back to a chop shop bust in 09. Crush it by morning, or we turn you in. Your choice. Choice. What a joke. Turning himself in meant jail, losing everything, his shop, his name, the life he'd clawed out of nothing, piece by piece, through relentless grit and determination. Crushing her meant he could keep breathing, prolong the fleeting moments of freedom he had left, and try to find a way out of the suffocating mess he now found himself in. He'd cursed into the phone, slammed it down, pacing the garage until his boots wore a groove in the dust, the weight of the decision pressing heavily on his chest. The flickering fluorescent light overhead cast shadows that danced like specters of his past decisions, taunting him. But the math didn't lie, one way he lost her, the other he lost everything else. Each option felt like a sentence, a countdown to an inevitable loss that seemed to mock his every effort. Desperation clawed at him, urging him to think of a way out, yet his heart raced with the fear of what lay ahead, the unknown playing cruel tricks on his imagination, as he wrestled with the reality of his choices. 12. She wasn't just a car. She was the summer he'd found her, rusted out in a junkyard, a skeleton of what she could be, a forgotten relic left to decay under the unrelenting sun. He'd rebuilt her piece by piece, nights spent hunched under the hood, hands black with grease, radio crackling old rock tunes, the air thick with the sweet scent of gasoline and promise. Each bolt he tightened, each dent he hammered out, brought not only life back to her body but also a sense of purpose to his own weary soul. She'd carried him through the worst of it, the divorce that shattered his heart, the bank breathing down his neck with threats that felt all too real, the days he didn't want to get up, when the weight of the world seemed unbearable. Her engine's roar was the sound of freedom, an anthem to the resilience that silently painted his days with newfound color, her wheel under his hands the only thing that ever felt like home, a sanctuary amidst the chaos. He'd named her Lola, whispered to her like she could hear him, sharing his secrets and dreams, and maybe she could, wrapped in the mystery of their bond, an unspoken understanding that transcended words. Together, they forged memories on winding roads, their adventure and escape, as the miles stretched beneath them like the fabric of a life reborn. The sledgehammer leaned against the workbench, its head dull and heavy, a silent testament to the destruction about to unfold. Elias picked it up, feeling the weight settle into his bones, a physical reminder of the decision he had made. His throat tightened as he stepped closer, the Mustang's grill staring back like a loyal dog that didn't know what was coming, its once pristine shine now a cruel contrast to his growing fury. He raised the hammer, hesitated for just a moment as memories flooded his mind, the late nights spent polishing the chrome, weekends dedicated to tuning the engine, and dreams of cruising down the coast. With a deep breath, he brought it down. The windshield shattered with a sound like a gunshot, glass spraying across the hood in a million tiny facets that sparkled in the light, an ironic beauty to the chaos. He swung again, denting the fender he'd spent months perfecting, the metal groaning under the blow as if it were mourning its own fate. Each hit was a wound, headlights smashed, doors caved in with a satisfying crunch, the roof buckling like a broken spine under relentless assault. His arms burned, sweat dripping into his eyes as his breath came in ragged bursts, yet he didn't stop, he couldn't stop, driven by an emotion he could hardly name, until she was unrecognizable, a heap of twisted steel and shattered pride, a manifestation of all his frustration and loss, standing as a grim reminder of what he once cherished and had been forced to destroy. 13. 14. When it was over, he dropped the hammer, his hands trembling, knuckles flecked with blood where the skin had split. The garage was silent except for the drip of coolant pooling beneath her corpse, a tragic reminder of the devastating decision he had made. He'd killed her. 10 years of late nights spent in the glow of fluorescent lights, of scrounging for parts from rickety salvage yards, of feeling alive every time he turned the key, all gone in 20 minutes of a blinding moment fueled by panic and desperation. He could have fought, could have tracked down the bastard on the phone, taken the risk that lingered in the back of his mind like a ghost, he could have saved her. But he'd chosen survival over loyalty, sacrificing everything that had once mattered to him for a fleeting chance at escape. The shame of it burned worse than the ache in his shoulders, a searing guilt that wrapped around him like a vice, squeezing out any semblance of comfort he might have found in the remnants of his former life. The tools that had once brought him joy now lay scattered, mocking him with their uselessness as he stood there, grappling with the irreversible reality of what he had done. Tomorrow, he'd haul what was left to the scrapyard, watch the crusher finish what he'd started, and tell himself it was worth it. The cops wouldn't come, the shop would stay open, life would grind on. But tonight, Elias sank onto the cold concrete, staring at the wreckage of the thing he'd loved most, his heart heavy with memories. The echo of her engine still ringing in his ears, a haunting melody of joy and freedom now turned to sorrow. The garage felt emptier than it ever had, and so did he, as he reminisced about the countless nights spent tinkering, the laughter shared, the dreams discussed under the flickering fluorescent lights. Each dent and scratch on the car told a story, a testament to their journey together, and now, with the realization that it was all coming to an end, a deep sense of loss enveloped him. Each breath felt labored as he mourned not just the loss of the car, but the pieces of himself that had been intertwined with it, leaving an ache that would linger long after the metal was crushed and gone. How a risky decision saved my life. On February 7, 2023, I found myself in a life-threatening situation when doctors discovered a gigantic blood clot lodged between my lungs. The severity of my condition was daunting, and the medical team quickly explained that I had three potential options to safely remove the clot. First, they suggested using medication, which might gradually dissolve the clot over time, but this approach could take a considerable duration and carried its own risks. Second, they proposed a more invasive procedure under full anesthesia, where they would access the clot through my groin and attempt to remove it directly. This method, while effective, also had significant risks associated with anesthesia. Lastly, the third option was similar to the second, but I would remain awake during the procedure. The doctors assured me that, in their experience, this method had yielded the best outcomes for patients in similar situations. Feeling a mix of fear and determination, I weighed my options carefully. Ultimately, I took the risk and chose the third option, hoping for a successful resolution to a terrifying ordeal. Well, I took the risk on the third option, and because of that risk, I have experienced over 2 years of bonus time on this earth, a period filled with unexpected adventures, meaningful connections, and personal growth. This decision opened up new horizons that I never anticipated, allowing me to explore places I dreamed of visiting, engage in profound conversations with remarkable individuals, and discover passions that ignited my spirit. Each moment felt like a precious gift, reminding me of the beauty of embracing uncertainty and the amazing things that can come from stepping outside of my comfort zone. Is the time near? I am in my mid-80s, and I am beginning to wonder, is my time to depart the earth near? Many times, in the last weeks I have had this empty feeling, as though a heavy cloud hangs over my spirit, casting shadows on my vibrant thoughts. The memories of a life richly lived swirl around me, bringing both joy and sadness as I reflect on the countless moments that shaped my journey. Conversations with loved ones feel more poignant, and I find myself cherishing each encounter, each laugh, and each shared story. As I sit quietly, watching the world outside my window, I can't help but contemplate my legacy and what I will leave behind, igniting a deeper awareness of the fragility of life and the preciousness of time. I have had these empty feeling other times during my life and times after I experienced an event in my life that affected me deeply. It often feels as though this empty feeling serves as an unspoken warning, a subtle premonition that something significant is about to transpire. Like a shadow lurking in the corner of my mind, this sensation accompanies me, making me ponder the nature of foresight and intuition. Sometimes, something indeed happens, manifesting as a surprising twist of fate, while other times, this sense of unease dissipates and nothing occurs. It leaves me in a state of reflection, trying to analyze the correlation between these moments and their outcomes. I would speculate the rate is around 50% accurate, suggesting a curious balance between expectation and reality, where the mind plays tricks, leading one to wonder about the origins of this emotional forewarning and its implications on my experiences. Over 2 years ago, I had a near-death experience, an event that truly reshaped my understanding of life and existence. Yes, I did have that empty feeling a few days before the event happened, a sense of foreboding that something significant was on the horizon. However, that experience did give me a gift that changed my life profoundly. I lost the fear of time after death, a burden that had weighed heavily on my shoulders for so long. With my various experiences in life, including a substantial amount of religious training and other influential factors, I held the belief that we are all sinners, inherently flawed beings striving for perfection, and that one had to work hard to attain any form of eternal life after our time on this earth. For many years of my life, I thought I would never qualify to walk through the pearly gates, forever feeling unworthy of the grace I had been taught to aspire towards. This newfound perspective, however, allowed me to embrace the beauty of imperfection and the importance of living fully in the present, knowing that life, in all its ups and downs, is a journey filled with lessons rather than a test to pass or fail. I am writing this blog because I woke up around 4 this morning, feeling empty and lost, like I was surrounded by a thick fog. The early morning quiet, with just a few sounds from the world waking up outside my window, let my thoughts flow into deep reflection. As the darkness faded into the first signs of dawn, I couldn't shake the feeling of longing. This solitude often leads me to think deeply, encouraging me to explore my emotions and share my experiences. I am at the age where I may fall over dead soon, or I may have many years to go, living life with hope and purpose. Each day presents new opportunities, and I will continue to make the fullest of whatever my destiny is, embracing both the challenges and joys that come my way. With every moment, I am reminded to cherish time spent with loved ones and to pursue my passions fearlessly. I am confident that God loves us unconditionally and, through the sacrifice of Christ, died for our sins, offering us grace and redemption. This belief anchors me, providing strength and comfort as I navigate the unpredictable waters of life. 15. A voicemail from 2030. The phone buzzed in my pocket, and I fished it out, squinting at the screen as the sunlight shimmered off its surface. One new voicemail blinked ominously, the sender an unknown number, timestamped today, April 18, 2025. My heart raced a bit as curiosity and unease collided within me. I tapped play, half expecting a robocall or a wrong number to shatter the moment, but the voice that crackled through the speaker froze me mid-step. It was raspy and laden with urgency, sending chills down my spine. The words were barely coherent, yet there was an unmistakable familiarity in the tone, something primal tugged at my memory, pulling me back to a time I thought I had left behind. Each muffled syllable felt like a haunting echo of the past, forcing me to reconsider the safe distance I thought I had maintained from those old ghosts. "Hello, it's me. From 5 years from now, April 18th, 2030. I know this sounds insane, but please, just listen. I understand that this message might come off as unbelievable, but the urgency of my situation compels me to reach out to you. The world has changed in ways you can't possibly imagine. The breakthroughs we've dreamed of are now at our fingertips, but they come with unforeseen consequences that we must navigate carefully. Time has a funny way of distorting our perceptions and priorities, so I beg you to consider my words thoughtfully. Your decisions today could alter the trajectory of our futures in ways that will become apparent only when it's too late." My own voice, but rougher, edged with a weariness I didn't yet know, echoed in my ear, reverberating with the weight of untold stories and unspoken fears. I stood in the middle of the bustling sidewalk, people brushing past me in a blur of colors and sounds, their conversations melding into a cacophony that once felt familiar but now seemed distant. The vibrant city's hum faded as I focused intently on the message, my heart racing with anticipation and uncertainty, feeling as if I was on the verge of an important revelation that would change everything, yet rooted in place, unable to shake the feeling of impending change that lingered in the crisp air. "I'm using something called Skynet, a prototype from AI. It's complicated, but it lets me send this back to you. I don't have long, 30 seconds, maximum. Things are different here. The world's louder, faster. AI's everywhere, not always for the better. You're going to face a choice soon, something about a job, a move, a person. I can't say more without risking the timeline. Just trust your gut, not the noise. And don't ignore the kid with the red backpack. You'll know when. Please, don't delete this." 16. The message cut off with a faint beep. I stood there, heart pounding, replaying it twice more. My voice, unmistakably, but laced with a gravity I couldn't fake. I checked the number again, untraceable, no caller ID. A prank. A scam. But how could anyone mimic me so perfectly, down to the slight hitch in my breath when I'm nervous? Days passed, and the message haunted me. I didn't delete it. I couldn't. I started noticing things, job offers piling up, each glossier than the last, urging me to jump into tech startups or corporate gigs. A friend mentioned a job in Singapore, another pushed me to date someone new, someone perfect. Choices, just like the voice said. But none felt right. The noise, as the message called it, was deafening. Ads, advice, algorithms shoving me toward decisions that didn't sit well. Then, 3 weeks later, I saw him. A kid, maybe 10, weaving through a crowded park, red backpack bouncing on his shoulders. He tripped, spilling a notebook onto the grass. No one else stopped. I hesitated, then jogged over, picking it up. The kid's eyes were wide, scared, but he mumbled a thanks. Inside the notebook were sketches, intricate, almost futuristic diagrams of machines, labeled Skynet. My pulse spiked. I looked back at the kid, but he was already sprinting off, vanishing into the crowd. I kept the notebook. Didn't tell anyone. Started digging, quietly. AI's public records mentioned no Skynet, but whispers by AI hinted at secret projects, time-bending tech too wild for the mainstream. The more I searched, the more I felt watched, not paranoid, just noticed. My gut screamed to stay quiet, to trust the message. The job offers dried up. The perfect person drifted away. I stayed put, kept my head down, and started sketching my own ideas, inspired by the kid's notebook. Small steps, no noise. By 2027, I'd built something, a prototype, crude but functional, that could send a signal a few seconds back. Not Skynet, but close. I didn't tell AI. I didn't trust the noise. On April 18, 2030, I sat in a dim room, the flickering light casting long shadows while my own Skynet hummed softly in the corner, a constant reminder of the world I had built and the chaos I had tried to escape. I dialed my old number, knowing it'd reach me 5 years ago, a bridge between my present self and the me of the past, before everything spiraled out of control. My voice shook as I recorded the message, a blend of fear and desperation flooding my thoughts, warning myself about the choices that had led me down this path, the innocent child whose laughter now echoed in the distance, and the relentless noise of regret that filled my mind. As I paused, contemplating the weight of my words, I hit send, praying it'd get through, hoping that somehow my past self would heed this warning and alter the course of our shared fate. Back in 2025, I'm still here, holding the phone, the voicemail on repeat. I don't know what's coming, but I'm listening. To my gut, not the noise. And I'm watching for that kid, wherever he is. 17. Exploring the history of the Panama Canal. Since the Panama Canal has been in the news lately, I thought a little history would be interesting. The Panama Canal, a 50-mile, man-made waterway connecting the Atlantic and Pacific Oceans, has a complex history rooted in global trade ambitions, engineering feats, and geopolitical struggles. The idea of a canal across Central America began in the 1500s when Spanish explorers, like Vasco Núñez de Balboa, saw the importance of connecting the Atlantic and Pacific Oceans. In 1534, Holy Roman Emperor Charles V had a survey done for a possible route, but the technology and resources of the time made it impractical. Over the years, Spain, Scotland, with the unsuccessful Darien scheme of 1698 to 1700, and later the United States looked at the area for trade routes. By the 19th century, the Industrial Revolution and growing global commerce amplified the need for a shorter maritime route. The United States, after its westward expansion and the California Gold Rush, 1848 to 1855, relied heavily on lengthy ship journeys around South America. In 1855, the U.S. built Panama Railway demonstrated the isthmus's potential, but a canal remained the ultimate goal. In 1879, French engineer Ferdinand de Lesseps, after his success with the Suez Canal, got permission from Colombia to build a sea-level canal in Panama. The company Universal du Canal Interoceanic started work in 1881 but faced challenges like dense jungles, mountains, and heavy rain that caused landslides. Diseases like malaria and yellow fever killed about 20,000 workers. The company went bankrupt in 1889, causing a scandal in France. A second French company tried to continue the work but failed by 1894, leaving behind some excavations and equipment. By the late 19th century, the U.S. emerged as a global power, eager to secure a canal for naval and commercial purposes essential for enhancing trade routes and military mobility. After the Spanish-American War, 1898, control of a canal became a strategic priority. This was driven by the need to allow faster passage of naval fleets between the Atlantic and Pacific Oceans, thereby bolstering the nation's presence in foreign waters. Two routes were considered, Nicaragua and Panama. Panama was ultimately chosen due to its shorter distance and existing French infrastructure, which included partially constructed locks and railway systems, making it a more viable option for rapid development. The decision was also influenced by geopolitical considerations, as controlling this canal would not only facilitate commerce but also assert American dominance in the Western Hemisphere. Colombia opposed U.S. control over a canal zone. In 1903, the U.S. backed a movement for Panama's independence led by local leaders like Felipe Bonavarilla. With U.S. naval support, Panama became independent from Colombia on November 3, 1903. Soon after, Panama signed the Hay-Bonavarilla Treaty, allowing the U.S. to control a 10-mile-wide canal zone for $10 million in annual payments. 18. The U.S. began construction in 1904, learning from French failures. Key developments included health measures. Dr. William Gorgas led a campaign to eradicate malaria and yellow fever by controlling mosquitoes, drastically reducing worker deaths. Engineering shift. Engineer John Frank Stevens advocated for a lock-based canal over a sea-level design, addressing Panama's uneven terrain and Chagres River flooding. George Washington Goethals oversaw completion. Labor, over 75,000 workers, primarily from the Caribbean, endured harsh conditions. Racial segregation and unequal pay sparked tensions. The canal's lock system, with massive concrete chambers lifting ships 85 feet to Gatun Lake, was an engineering marvel. On August 15, 1914, the SS Ancon made the first official transit. The project cost $375 million and claimed over 5,600 lives, mostly from disease and accidents. The Panama Canal became a linchpin of global trade and U.S. military strategy, handling 5% of world commerce by the 1930s. The U.S. fortified the canal zone, treating it as a de facto colony, which fueled Panamanian resentment. Tensions erupted in the 1964 flag riots, where Panamanian students protested U.S. control, leading to 21 deaths. Negotiations for Panamanian sovereignty began in the 1960s. In 1977, President Jimmy Carter and Panamanian leader Omar Torrijos signed the Torrijos-Carter Treaties, agreeing to transfer canal control to Panama by December 31, 1999, with the U.S. retaining rights to defend the canal's neutrality. Panama assumed full control on December 31, 1999, operating the canal through the Panama Canal Authority. The canal has since been modernized, with a $5.25 billion expansion completed in 2016. This added larger locks, doubling capacity to accommodate new Panamax ships carrying up to 14,000 containers. Today, the canal handles about 6% of global trade, with over 14,000 transits annually. It remains a critical artery for U.S., Chinese, and Latin American commerce, generating significant revenue for Panama. However, challenges like droughts affecting water levels and competition from Arctic routes and Nicaragua's proposed canal persist. The Panama Canal's history reflects a saga of ambition, sacrifice, and innovation, shaping global trade and geopolitics for over a century. 19. What if I woke up as an ant? Waking up as tiny as an ant turned my day into a wild, surreal adventure. Here's how it unfolded. I opened my eyes to a world that's suddenly colossal. My bed is a vast, fibrous plane, each thread a thick rope, woven together in a complex tapestry of colors and textures. The air feels heavier, thick with the scent of fabric softener, and the distant sounds like the hum of a fridge or a car outside rumble like earthquakes, vibrating through my tiny body. My first challenge is getting off the bed, a daunting fortress that looms above me. I rappel down a dangling bedsheet, my tiny muscles surprisingly strong, like an ant's, capable of lifting many times my weight despite my delicate form. With each careful movement, I navigate the intricate landscape of wrinkles and folds, reminiscent of rolling hills. It takes effort, but I make it to the floor, a sprawling landscape of dust motes, crumbs, and carpet fibers that tower like trees. As I survey my surroundings, the enormity of the world around my dawns. Each mundane object transformed into a monumental challenge, igniting a sense of adventure that pulses through my veins. Hunger hits. A spilled cereal flake nearby is a boulder-sized feast, glistening under the dim light as if it were a treasure just waiting to be claimed. I tear off a piece, marveling at how my mandibles, yep, I've got those now, crunch through it, each bite a burst of flavor that sends exhilaration through my tiny body. Water's trickier. I trek to a stray droplet on the kitchen floor, my resolve stealing as I sip carefully to avoid drowning in its surface tension, feeling the coolness against my exoskeleton. Everything's a hazard. A curious house cat looms like a coyote, its massive paws capable of crushing whole buildings, while its whisker flicks send gusts of wind that could upend my miniature world. I hide in a crack in the floorboards, heart pounding and adrenaline racing, until it loses interest, the rhythmic thump of its tail fading into an echo of my narrow escape, yet the reality of my perilous existence remains ever present. Navigation is a puzzle. Your phone, now a skyscraper, is useless without Herculean effort to tap its screen. I decide to reach a human for help, maybe a family member or roommate. Crossing the living room takes hours, weaving through a jungle of furniture legs and dodging a vacuum cleaner that roars like a jet engine, its relentless noise echoing in the vastness of my echo chamber. Each step feels monumental as I navigate this treacherous terrain, carefully balancing as I climb a table leg, using sticky ant-like pads on my feet to gain footing on the precarious surface. Finally, I reach a notebook, the beacon of hope in this overwhelming world. Scratching tiny SOS messages with a splinter, I hope someone notices my cry for help, perhaps a loved one who might recognize the urgency behind my makeshift signals and come to my rescue before the looming shadows of my surroundings consume you entirely. 20. By afternoon, I am exploring more confidently. I hitch a ride on a house efflee, terrifying but exhilarating, to cross the room faster. I discover ant-like instincts, I sense pheromones, guiding you to a sugar spill. Other ants are there, and I communicate through touch, feeling oddly connected. But danger lurks, a spider the size of a car prowls nearby. I bolt, using speed and agility to escape its web. As evening falls, exhaustion sets in, wrapping around me like a heavy blanket. I'm still tiny, no closer to reversing this precarious predicament. With a sense of urgency, I build a makeshift shelter from a leaf fragment under the couch, strategically positioned to keep me safe from the relentless foot traffic above. As I settle into my miniature refuge, reflecting on the day's bizarre twists, I am awed by the micro-world's overwhelming beauty, iridescent dust dancing in rays of fading light, dew globes shimmering like crystal balls in the twilight, yet a deep-seated fear grips me at the thought of staying this way indefinitely. Each tiny sound reverberates in my ears, heightening my senses and reminding me of the dangers lurking in this vast, albeit intimate, realm. I drift off into an uneasy sleep, hoping tomorrow brings answers, perhaps a scientist equipped with miraculous knowledge, or a fairy godmother ready to lend a hand and undo this Kafka-esque nightmare that has turned my life upside down. I wake up tomorrow and poof, I'm back to normal, thank goodness. It turns out it was just a dream. A silly little memory that vaporizes faster than my motivation on a Monday morning. What kind of oddball dream was that? Was it the mushroom salad I devoured at supper, with its earthy flavors tickling my brain like a squirrel on a sugar rush? I guess I'll never know, as that explanation is probably doing the backstroke somewhere in the depths of my subconscious. Dreams are like my own personal amusement park, they take me on wild rides to no man's land, crafting stories that either entertain me or make me question my sanity. It's like living two lives, one where I pay bills and do laundry, and the other where I'm gallivanting through the clouds with unicorns. Each night, as I close my eyes, I ponder what my mind will whip up next. Maybe I'll end up on a pirate ship counting doubloons or having tea with a dragon. The possibilities are wilder than my Uncle Bob at a family reunion, and that uncertainty is what makes dreaming such a splendid adventure. A citizen's privilege and responsibility. Yes, I vote in political elections. Even though I may seem small in the grand picture of elections, it is my duty to participate. If I don't vote, I lose the right to complain about how things are in our country. Voting is an important part of being a citizen, as every vote helps shape our society. By voting, I can express my views on issues that affect my community, ensuring that our leaders are held responsible for their choices. My involvement is a way to resist apathy, encouraging not just myself but others to stand up for what we believe in. Ultimately, voting isn't just a right, it's a privilege that shows how everyone can make a difference, no matter how insignificant they may feel. 21. 22. Are you just yourself? I have spent maybe two-thirds of life trying to be somebody that I am not. You may believe this or not, but, one day I was taking a walk around the greenbelt near our home. There was nobody around and I was just having some silent time to my own. Then this loud voice came out and spoke. Tom, stop trying to be somebody else, just be yourself. Your purpose in life is to be yourself. After that event, I have decided to just be myself. Since that time, I've been at peace since and am actually enjoying just being myself. I even like myself. This is one positive change I have made in my life. Unfortunately, this event did not happen until I was in my 60s, a time when I thought I had already formed my identity. Therefore, I spent many years of my life trying to be somebody that I wasn't meant to be, conforming to the expectations set by society, family, and even my peers. I often wore a mask that concealed my true self, believing that by doing so, I would find acceptance and success. As the years passed, I felt increasingly like a stranger in my own life, longing for the freedom to embrace who I really was, and reflecting on the choices I made, I realized that the journey to authenticity was one I had delayed far too long. The question is more than a simple inquiry, it gets to the heart of your identity. Are you being yourself and accepting your unique traits, or are you trying to fit in and be someone else for the sake of acceptance or validation? I discovered that I am now very happy just being myself. Private label brands. My favorite brands are private label brands, such as Kroger, Member's Mark, Kirkland, and many others that provide excellent quality at competitive prices. Many times, private labels are just the same as name brands, featuring similar ingredients and production methods, yet they are available at a lower price point for various reasons, such as the absence of national advertising expenses and the ability to leverage volume purchases to negotiate better deals with suppliers. This cost-effectiveness allows consumers to enjoy substantial savings while still enjoying products that meet their quality expectations. Furthermore, the growing popularity of private label brands has led to innovative offerings, bringing unique products to the market that often outperform traditional name brand items, making them a smart choice for budget-conscious shoppers. During my young career days, I worked in wholesale distribution, where I was introduced to the fascinating world of private label products. In this role, we had the opportunity to purchase items from well-known national brands, effectively bridging the gap between high-quality goods and affordability. The beauty of these products was that they maintained the same specifications and packaging as the original brands, however, they bore a different private label name that appealed to budget-conscious customers. This strategic approach not only allowed us to offer customers significant savings, but it also demonstrated how branding could be reimagined without compromising on quality. Essentially, we provided the same trusted products at a much cheaper price, effectively catering to a diverse range of buyers looking for value without sacrificing their standards. This was in the 70s and 80s, and I am assuming that this practice is still used today. Embracing life's journey. Since I am near my journey of life to come to an end, I find myself reflecting on the myriad of experiences that have shaped me into who I am today. The time may be tomorrow or 10 years from now, each moment seems fleeting yet profound in its own way. As I look back, I see not only the joyous moments but also the challenges that have tested my spirit and resilience. I ponder the legacy I will leave behind and the stories that will linger in the hearts of those I cherish. Only time will tell how this chapter will conclude, but for now, I strive to embrace each day with gratitude and an open heart. Many things gave me direction in life. My parents and spiritual religious training were the primary factors in my young age, instilling in me values of compassion, integrity, and perseverance. Their guidance shaped my understanding of the world and encouraged me to seek a deeper meaning in my actions. Beyond just teachings, the experiences shared during family gatherings and moments of reflection on spiritual teachings created a strong foundation, allowing me to navigate challenges with resilience and purpose. As I grew older, I began to recognize how these early influences not only directed my choices but also inspired me to strive for personal growth and a greater connection with those around me. As my journey progressed, the multitude of experiences I encountered, military service that instilled discipline and camaraderie, the joys and challenges of marriage, the heart-wrenching moments of divorce, the pursuit of fulfilling employment, the struggles of unemployment, the reflective phase of retirement, and a near-death experience that profoundly shifted my perspective gave me direction through various segments of my life, guiding me to appreciate the nuances of resilience, the importance of relationships, and the invaluable lessons learned from both triumphs and tribulations that shaped the person I am today. Now, since I am retired and near journey's end, my direction in life is just to be myself. Embracing the freedom that comes with this new chapter. I find joy in simple pleasures like sipping my morning coffee while watching the sunrise, reflecting on the memories I've made over the years and the lessons learned along the way. This phase allows me to explore new hobbies, reconnect with old friends, and savor the beauty of each day without the pressures of a hectic schedule, which often seemed overwhelming during my working years. It's a time for self-discovery, where I can truly delve into my passions and appreciate the small moments that make life rich and fulfilling, whether it's tending to my garden, taking leisurely walks in nature, or getting lost in cyberspace. I am expressing and sharing this in my blogging, hoping to inspire others to appreciate the joys of life and embrace their own journeys with open hearts and minds. Through my words, I connect with a broader community, exchanging stories, and gaining insights that enrich my experiences further. Making this chapter not only about reflection but also about connection and growth. 23. Microwave ovens, evolution, and benefits. Something most of us use almost daily and take for granted is the microwave oven. I was heating my coffee this morning in the microwave and thought, I wonder how many have ever thought about this handy tool. It's fascinating to realize how this appliance has transformed our cooking and reheating habits, providing us with convenience that we often overlook. I did some research, and here is what I found. The microwave oven was invented by accident in 1945 by Percy Spencer, an innovative engineer at Raytheon. While working on radar equipment, he noticed a candy bar in his pocket melted near a magnetron, a vacuum tube responsible for generating microwaves. Intrigued by this phenomenon, Spencer decided to delve deeper into the possibilities of microwave energy. He conducted several experiments by placing popcorn kernels near the magnetron. To his amazement, the kernels popped dramatically, showcasing the potential of this new technology. He then placed an egg nearby, which ultimately exploded due to the rapid heating. This series of experiments led to the groundbreaking realization that microwaves could efficiently heat food by agitating water molecules within, ultimately revolutionizing how we cook and reheat meals. As a result, the microwave oven became a staple in households across the globe, transforming culinary practices and saving time in the kitchen with its convenience and speed. Raytheon developed the first commercial microwave oven, the Rotorange, in 1947. This groundbreaking appliance was massive 5.5 feet tall, weighed 750 pounds, and cost about $5,000, which is roughly equivalent to $60,000 today when adjusted for inflation. Early models were primarily used in restaurants and large institutions, such as hospitals and cafeterias, due to their considerable size and high cost, limiting accessibility for the average consumer. The introduction of microwave technology revolutionized food preparation, allowing for rapid cooking and heating, which was a significant advantage for busy kitchens. By the 1960s, however, smaller countertop versions emerged, designed specifically for home use. Nonetheless, they were still prohibitively expensive and often unreliable, with issues like uneven heating and limitations in cooking power, which contributed to skepticism about their effectiveness among homemakers and culinary professionals alike. As technology advanced, subsequent models aimed to address these shortcomings, gradually leading to the more efficient and user-friendly microwaves we utilize in modern kitchens today. 24. Tappan introduced a more practical home microwave in 1955, revolutionizing the way families prepared meals, and by the late 1960s, Japanese companies like Sharp refined the technology, making units not only more compact and affordable but also increasingly efficient to meet the growing demands of busy households. Sharp, being at the forefront of innovation, also pioneered the turntable in 1962 to improve even cooking, ensuring that food was heated uniformly, which was a significant advancement over earlier models. By the 1970s, prices dropped significantly due to increased competition and advancements in manufacturing processes, leading to widespread adoption of microwaves, with about 25% of U.S. households owning one by 1976. This marked a pivotal shift in cooking practices, as microwaves offered convenience and speed that traditional cooking methods could not match. Today, over 90% of U.S. homes have a microwave, making it an essential kitchen appliance that has transformed meal preparation, enabling families to enjoy quick and easy meals while maintaining their busy lifestyles. Safety concerns, like radiation leaks, were addressed early with strict regulations. Though myths about microwaves causing cancer or destroying nutrients persist, they don't The microwave's rise transformed cooking habits, enabling fast meal prep and spawning microwave-specific foods like TV dinners and popcorn bags. This convenience not only reshaped individual lifestyles, allowing busy families to prepare meals in mere minutes, but it also influenced the food industry as manufacturers began to cater to this new demand, creating a variety of ready-to-eat meals designed specifically for microwave cooking. Additionally, the technology spurred innovations in packaging and meal engineering, leading to an entire market dedicated to microwavable products. As these appliances became more accessible, they fostered a cultural shift towards quick, on-the-go dining practices, affecting traditional cooking methods and eating habits across generations. In these few minutes, you may have learned something you didn't know, and this realization is just the tip of the iceberg when it comes to the endless opportunities for learning throughout our lives. One of my strong beliefs is that you spend time on this earth to learn, grow, and evolve. From birth to death, you are constantly learning, absorbing knowledge, and gaining wisdom from every interaction and experience that you encounter. You learn from everyone you talk to, whether they are friends, family, or even strangers, as each conversation has the potential to teach you something new. The events in life, both large and small, are just another classroom, filled with invaluable lessons about resilience, empathy, and understanding. This continuous journey of learning equips you with skills and insights that will be needed in time, long after you depart from Earth. Embracing this perspective can transform the way you view challenges and triumphs alike, as each moment becomes an opportunity to expand your horizons and deepen your understanding of the world around you. 25. Beyond time and memory journey. The forest of evergreen stretched endlessly, its canopy a mosaic of emerald and gold, where time seemed to kneel in reverence. No one aged here. Villagers with centuries-old eyes laughed like children, their skin unmarred by years of hardship and toil. Evergreen was not just a refuge, it was a dream woven with laughter and carefree moments, where the air shimmered with the fragrance of wildflowers. Joan, a wanderer fleeing a life of loss, stumbled into this haven by accident, her boots sinking into the soft moss that whispered secrets of ancient tales. As she ventured deeper, the sun filtered through the leaves, creating a dance of light that gently guided her. The villagers welcomed her with open arms, their faces ageless, their voices warm like the summer Sunday stay. They urged, "And be free of time's weight, weave your dreams into the tapestry of our lives, and let the burdens of the past fade like the ephemeral dusk." At first, Evergreen reveled in the forest's magic. She danced under starlight with men and women who claimed to have seen empires rise and fall, their bodies as spry as hers at 25, moving with a grace that transcended time. The air tasted of honeysuckle, intoxicating her senses and filling her heart with joy, while the streams sparkled with an unnatural clarity, reflecting the soft glow of the moon like scattered diamonds. The laughter of her companions echoed through the trees, mingling with the rustling leaves and creating a symphony of enchantment. However, as weeks turned to months, Joan noticed a change that crept upon her like shadows at twilight. Her reflection in the creek showed faint lines around her eyes, a silver thread in her dark hair that glinted in the sunlight, a stark reminder of the relentless passage of time. She was aging, and with each day that passed, the youthful vibrancy she once took for granted began to fade, leaving behind an unfamiliar landscape of growing wisdom and unspoken fears. The villagers didn't believe her at first. "Impossible," said Ilara, a woman who'd woven baskets for 300 years, her fingers nimble as a teenager, yet shadowed by the weight of age. "Evergreen stops time." But Joan's hands grew rougher, her joints ached in the mornings, and her once steady stride faltered, each step echoing her increasing struggle against the inevitable passage of time. Whispers followed her through the village, no longer warm but wary, swirling in the air like autumn leaves caught in a gust. "She's different," they murmured, casting sidelong glances filled with a mix of curiosity and fear. "Cursed, perhaps." The notion hung heavily in the atmosphere, as Joan sensed the shift in their gazes, the warmth of friendship giving way to a chilling isolation that crept into her heart, leaving her to wonder if her fate was sealed by a power she hardly understood. Desperate, Joan sought answers. She ventured deeper into the forest, where the trees grew ancient and gnarled, their bark etched with runes no villager could read. Symbols that whispered of forgotten legends and secrets buried in time. Each step she took was measured, the soft crunch of leaves underfoot mingling with the haunting calls of distant creatures. The air thickened with an enchanting aroma of damp earth and wildflowers, luring her onward, pushing her towards a destination only her heart could sense. There, in a glade pulsing with an eerie light that danced like fireflies in the twilight, she found the heart root, a massive tree, its roots throbbing like veins, radiating the forest's timeless aura and a sense of both dread and solace. Kneeling before it with reverence, Joan pressed her hands to its bark, feeling the rough texture beneath her fingers, and a voice, vast and sorrowful, filled her mind, weaving together the tales of those who had come before her, revealing truths that 26 were both wondrous and terrifying. "You are not of us," it said, its voice resonating through the trees like an ancient echo. "The forest's gift is for those born within its bounds, nurtured by the very earth that embraces them. Outsiders carry time's seed, and it grows, intertwining with their fate, sprouting roots that stretch beyond mere existence. To tread upon this sacred ground is to invite the whispers of the past and the burdens of the unknown, for in this realm, only those truly destined may partake in the secrets held deep within the woods." Joan's heart sank as she struggled to comprehend the weight of the revelation. "Why didn't they tell me?" she whispered, her voice barely audible above the din of the bustling crowd around her. The questions swirled in her mind like autumn leaves caught in a fierce wind. Had they known all along? Did they think she wouldn't understand? The sense of betrayal washed over her, mixing with the confusion that left her feeling adrift in a sea of uncertainty. "They forget," the heart root replied, its voice resonating like wind through ancient trees. "Immortality dulls their curiosity, wrapping their minds in a fog of complacency. They no longer question the world around them, nor do they seek to uncover the mysteries that lie beyond their mundane existence. Once driven by wonder and a thirst for knowledge, they have become stagnant, content with the superficial and unwilling to delve deeper into the shadows of their existence." She returned to the village, her hair now streaked with gray, a testament to the passage of time, her face a map of years the others would never know, etched with memories of both joy and sorrow. The villagers avoided her gaze, their eternal youth now a quiet accusation, a reminder of choices unmade and paths unexplored. Joan could stay, grow old, and die among them, a fleeting anomaly in their endless lives, blending into the backdrop of ageless faces and unchanging routines, becoming a ghost among the living. Or she could leave, return to a world beyond the village boundaries, where time claimed everyone, where her aging was no curse but a shared human thread, part of the grand tapestry of existence, rich with the experiences that shaped her and connected her to the broader, pulsating rhythm of life. As she weighed her options, the weight of her decision loomed large, the pull of familiarity tugging at her heart against the lure of the unknown. One dawn, Joan packed her worn satchel, meticulously folding her few belongings, which included a tattered journal filled with her thoughts and sketches. As she moved quietly about the room filled with memories, Illyra watched from a distance, her ageless face unreadable, eyes reflecting the colors of the rising sun. The air was thick with a mixture of anticipation and sadness. "You could stay," she said softly, her voice barely above a whisper, as if suggesting that the world outside might be too vast and daunting for someone so young and restless. Joan smiled, her wrinkles deepening, a testament to the countless stories etched across her face. "I'd rather live a life that ends than one that forgets to begin," she mused, her eyes twinkling with a hint of mischief and wisdom. In her heart, she knew that each moment, each experience was a vivid brushstroke in the masterpiece of her existence, even if the canvas was not flawless. She had danced through joy and sorrow, embraced the chaos, and felt the thrill of uncharted paths beckoning to her, longing to be explored. She stepped beyond the forest's edge, where the air grew heavy and the colors dimmed, as if the very atmosphere was reluctant to let her go. Behind her, evergreen shimmered, eternal and indifferent, its radiant light casting long shadows that danced at her feet in a bittersweet farewell. Ahead, the world waited fleeting, flawed, and hers an expanse of possibilities unfolding like a worn tapestry, rich with stories untold and adventures yet to be embraced. Each step she took resonated with the pulse of a new beginning, a blend of excitement and trepidation that ignited her spirit and beckoned her forward into the unknown. The whispering winds carried promises of change, stirring her heart and igniting the fire within her soul. That's it for this issue. Have a nice day.